As the prophet's daughter, she holds a sacred place. As the prophet's daughter, she holds a sacred place. The lady of paradise with a heart full of divine grace.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program, The Lady of Paradise, Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the youngest daughter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, who was the most beloved to him. So, in this program, as is obvious from the title of the program, that we talk about her virtues, her excellences, and we touch upon many aspects of her seerah in order to enrich our hearts further with her eminence. And our discussion, dear viewers, at the moment is about her passion for worship. And today, inshallah, we'll continue our discussion further in this regard, and we will look at the excellence that she possesses in this very relation as well. And we'll also talk about the excellences of act of worship that we will discuss today in order to develop a mindset to also implement it in our daily lives. Before we do that, dear viewers, as usual, let's first of all listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith, dear viewers, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam has said that he who sends salat upon me once, Allah Almighty showers 10 mercies upon him. And he who sends salat upon me 10 times, Allah Almighty showers 100 mercies upon him. And he who sends salat upon me 100 times, Allah Almighty inscribes between both his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, he'll be kept among martyrs, amongst the shuhada. So dear viewers, again, subhanAllah, a beautiful virtue we've learned about. We just heard that those who recite Salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam 100 times a day, subhanAllah, Allah Almighty inscribes between both their eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy, from nifaq, and he's free from the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. What great glad tidings these are. And on the day of judgment, such a person will be kept among martyrs. Can you imagine, dear viewers, the rank of the shuhada? The rank of martyrs, this very individual will be kept among them. So we should also try our utmost duties to recite Salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as much as we can. Inshallah, we will see its blessings, not only in this world, but in the hereafter as well, which matters the most. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Davis, the act of worship of Fatimatu Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha that we will discuss today is her act of making du'as in the court of Allah. Subhanallah, devious, supplicating the court of Allah, making supplications, making du'a in the court of Allah is one of the greatest forms of worship. And again, this is something that we neglect. We take it for granted. But in essence, devious, this is a very noble form of worship. Something that we've been encouraged to do in the Quran as well. And special emphasis has been placed on this very act of worship. And dua is also something, dear viewers, which is considered to be the weapon of a believer. Something that serves as a means of peace and tranquility for its asker, for its seeker as well. As by making duas, he's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a very, very highly elevated ranked act of worship. So, dua holds a lot of significance in Islam. And it is very, very important for us to have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through making dua. And also, dear viewers, when we make dua, in other words, we are expressing our humility in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are expressing our dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a sort of affirming the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord Almighty. It is believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah Almighty is all powerful. He can grant whatever He wants to whomsoever He wants. So this is a beautiful form of worship. Again, something which doesn't require a lot of effort for a person. A person can do this at any time, at any place. Even if he's at his home, he can start making du'as. If it is nighttime, he can make du'as. If it is daytime, he can make du'as. Anytime, anywhere, a person can make du'as. So we should have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through making du'as, dear. And in particular, now let's talk about the practice of the Lady of Paradise, Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, in relation to making du'as in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who else can narrate her this very practice better than her own honorable beloved son of a master, Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiyallahu an. So Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiyallahu an narrates that I saw my honorable beloved mother Fatimatu Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha worshipping Allah Almighty and beseeching in his court, making du'as in his court while shedding tears from evening till morning. And never did I see that she radiallahu ta'ala anha ever made dua for herself. Rather, she radiallahu anha would make all the du'as, all the supplications for the forgiveness and well-being of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Devious. Just from this very practice of Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, we can derive many, many pearls of wisdom. Allahu Akbar. Her passion for worshipping Allah Almighty and her passion for making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while shedding tears, and the passion she had for the well-being of the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu anhu is saying that, I've never seen her making dua for herself, but for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, for the well-being of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This again, dear viewers, raises questions to us. This raises that platform where we should keep ourselves and ask ourselves that what is our state again when it comes to making dua, and then when it comes to making dua for others. First of all, we don't even make du'as. And if we do, we are so into making du'as for ourselves and for monetary gains, for the gains of this world only. This is also permissible. There's nothing wrong in this. But always seek the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't only seek monetary gains. Don't only seek this world from the court of Allah Almighty. Seek the blessings, the forgiveness, the salvation of hereafter as well. In fact, seek that mainly, and then also ask for barakah in your sustenance and other lawful desires of this world as well. You may do so, but at the same time, dear viewers, don't forget to make du'as for your fellow Muslims, as the du'a made for them by others in their absence is accepted. And the same result, the same excellence the du'a asked for the fellow Muslim in their absence is also accepted in the favor of the person who's making the du'a. How beautiful this action is, dear viewers. And Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, she would beseechingly implore in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She would shed tears and make dua in the court of Allah. But for whom? For the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. For the well-being of the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we see this in the practice of the noble elites of this ummah, dear viewers, that they would cry, shed tears in the court of Allah, and they would supplicate for the well-being of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we can see this in the character, in the nature of the Ahlul Bayt, in the nature of the Sahaba, that this is something that they also held very firm to. Sayyidina Abdul Haq Muhandis Adelwi rahmatullah alayhi, he says that Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu anhu said that I saw my honorable mother Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha making dua for Muslim men and women to a great extent, and she radiallahu anha did not make any dua for herself. So Imam Hasan Mujtaba radiallahu anh is pointing out to a specific occasion over here. He says that I saw my mother, my honorable mother, Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, making extensive du'as for Muslim men and women. But I didn't see her making any du'a for herself. So I asked her that, oh my beloved mother, what is the reason? Why don't you make any du'a for yourself? To which she replied that first is the neighbors and then your own family, your own house. Allahu Akbar. Look at the greatness of Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, dear viewers, that she's prioritizing others over herself, over her own house. And this is the passion that she radiallahu anha had for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the forgiveness and well-being of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The she radiallahu anha would implore and beseech in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night long. For whom? For the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Keeping in mind, dear viewers, the she radiallahu anha did not possess many worldly provisions. She radiallahu anha was spending a difficult life in this world. She radiallahu ta'ala anha did not possess many worldly provisions. But yet, despite all this, she would supplicate for others. Despite the hardships that she was facing in this dunya, she still supplicated for others. She still wished good for others. She still wanted goodness for the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, forgiveness for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What greatness we see through this very practice of Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. What is our state, dear viewers, that despite having everything, we don't even make dua. And if we do so, it is only for ourselves and only for this dunya. Whereas the dua should be made especially for the hereafter and for lawful means or lawful needs of this dunya as well, by all means. Whatever lawful need there be, whatever lawful wish there is, it is okay to make dua for that as well. By all means, do so. But don't restrict the worship of dua only to the things of this world, only to monetary gains, only to the worldly, the gains of this world. Extend it mainly for the blessings of the hereafter. And the greatest of the blessing that we can ask in the afterlife is forgiveness without accountability, is for our end upon iman, is to pass away as Muslim and to be forgiven without accountability, without accountability, without accountability. This is that main goal that we need to achieve whilst we're living in this world, dear viewers. This is what we've been sent for. Remember, this is what we've been sent for. Look at the seerah of Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, that despite not having those worldly gains, those worldly provisions, still she radiallahu anha is focused towards her afterlife and teaching us that what our purpose in life should also be. She taught us through her practices that a mu'min, a believer, sets his goal of the hereafter in front of him. That's what he works toward. Everything else, this dunya, our work, everything is something that we need to go through in order to achieve that target, in order to achieve that goal. And these are the things that we need to live through, of course, through halal means, through permissible means, in order to attain our goals. So dear viewers, making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest form of worship, and Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha displayed how to do that. And again, the selflessness showed in the character of Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha over here teaches us that we should also be caring for others, we should also be looking after the well-being of others through the action, through the act of dua, as well as through other means as well. Now dear viewers, we should also make dua for our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, as the dua made for other brothers or sisters in their absence is accepted. So it is very, very important for us that we also make duas for our brothers and sisters. And especially dear viewers, another beautiful Madani pearl that we learn through the seerah of the Honorable Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt is that we should also make children to make dua for us, as children's duas are also accepted. And the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he would make children make dua for him. Subhanallah. Look at the personality he is. Look at the stature that he has. Look at the rank that he possesses. But yet, he would ask children to make du'as for him. This is again for teaching us that how we should be in regards to making du'a or in regards to having du'as made by people for us. Subhanallah. Follow the Ahlul Bayt. Follow the Sahaba. You'll be successful. We'll be successful. And there's no other way of success without following the Ahlul Bayt, without following the Sahaba. We should have respect for every single Sahabi, for every single companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we should have respect, utmost respect, respect to the highest degree for every single one among the Ahlul Bayt. This is the only way through which we can attain salvation. Now, dear viewers, after going through the practice of Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anha, in relation to dua, let's go through three benefits of making dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that a person's dua is not void of three things. Number one, he gets benefit in this world. So one of these three, out of these three benefits, one of them a person attains. So either he gets benefit in this world, or the dua is kept for him, stored for him for his hereafter, or in proportion to his dua, his sins are forgiven. Sins in proportion to his dua, they are forgiven. And in another narration, devious, it is stated that when a mu'min, a believer, will see the reward in the hereafter for his du'as, which were not accepted, then he will wish that only if none of my du'as were accepted in the world, and the reward for all of them were gathered for me in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers, one of these three benefits a person attains for making du'a. Number one is that his du'a benefit is given to him in this dunya. Number two is that his dua is stored for him, kept for him in the hereafter. And number three is that sins in proportion to the dua made are forgiven for the person. So it's a win-win situation. So any of these three benefits are given to a person who supplicates, who makes dua. So we should not be lazy in regards to making dua, and we should always make sure that we make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly. And how beautifully it is said in the other narration, dear viewers, that when the dua is not accepted, apparently not accepted, then it is kept saved for the person in the hereafter. And when believers will see the reward which is gathered for them in the hereafter over those du'as which were not accepted, then they will wish at that time that only if none of their du'a was accepted in the dunya, so that the all the reward of that was gathered for them in the hereafter. So never think, dear viewers, that our du'as are not accepted or we don't get benefit for making du'a. This is not the case. We always get benefit for making dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never returns us empty-handed. If exact thing that we ask for is not given to us, then there are other forms of acceptance of dua, where either dua is kept for us in for the hereafter. Our sins are forgiven in proportion to the dua that was made. Now, dear viewers, when we talk about making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are multiple benefits. One benefit is that by making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah Almighty commanded us to supplicate to Him and He will give us. As Allah Almighty says in Surah Mu'min, verse number 60, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Ask and I will accept it. So making dua in the court of Allah would make us follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, dear viewers, the one who makes dua, he obeys the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has emphasized his ardent devotees, he's instructed his devotees to make dua. So making dua is also obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the fourth benefit which the ulama have mentioned is that by making dua, either a person's sins are forgiven, or the person's issues, problems, they are resolved in this world, or his dua is stored for him, is saved for him in the hereafter. So dear viewers, we come to know that it is win-win situation for us when we make dua. It is never the case that our dua is not accepted. Our dua is always accepted. The forms of acceptance of dua are different. So either our sins will be forgiven, either our worldly issues and problems will be removed, or the dua that we ask for will be kept for us, stored for us in the hereafter for us. And dear viewers, another very important thing that we need to remember here is that sometimes we rush into the acceptance of dua, and very soon, ma'azallah, we lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that we made the dua, it's been a week, it's still not been accepted. These kind of things, dear viewers, makes the doors of acceptance of dua shut upon us. So in other words, we're harming ourselves by saying this, that, you know, our dua is not being accepted, it's been such a long time, etc., etc. So this is something that we need to stay away from, as we've also been warned in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your dua is accepted unless you do not rush saying that I made the dua and it's not accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that your duas are accepted unless you do not rush in it, you do not observe haste in it, saying that I made dua and it was not accepted. So dear viewers, this is something very important for us to learn from the seerah of Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, that A, we should make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extensively, and B, we should make dua for others as well. This is very, very important for us and something which is a great noble deed. You will see its blessings in this world and in the hereafter. Many of your issues, many of your problems will be resolved. And at the same time, dear viewers, always remember that if we are not given exactly what we ask in the dua, if it is not accepted in the exact same form that we have in our mind, that it should be given in exactly the same form in which we are asking, remember, dear viewers, it doesn't mean that the dua was not accepted. The ways in which duas are accepted, the forms of acceptance of dua are different. Imagine sins being forgiven, Allahu Akbar. Imagine other problems being resolved in this dunya. Imagine the dua is kept as a provision for us in the hereafter. How great it would be for us. So always remember and keep this mindset, have this embedded in your minds that our dua is always accepted. The form of acceptance of dua is different, and only Allah knows that what is the best way in which dua should be accepted in our favor. So this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's given us, which is the worship of dua. And another greatest of the blessings of Allah is that we have the noble figures, the likes of the Lady of Paradise, Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, through her actions showed us the importance of this very act of worship, and that we should also act upon it, and we should also have this in our nature, in our daily routine life. Again, dear viewers, in the light of the seerah of Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, let's evaluate ourselves. Let's see how much dua do we make in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we do make dua in the court of Allah, then are we impatient, and do we shut the doors of the acceptance of dua ourselves by observing haste? What is our state? We need to observe ourselves. We need to make dua wholeheartedly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without observing haste and with the mindset that our dua is always accepted. However, the form of acceptance of dua may differ from occasion to occasion. And in which form the dua would be accepted, Allah Almighty knows the best. As He's our creator, He knows what is the best for us. So this is what we learn from the seerah of Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. This perspective of the seerah of Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, I pray to Allah that may Allah allow us to make du'as sincerely in His court. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also accept our du'as, and may Allah Almighty shower His choicest of mercies and blessings upon the Lady of Paradise, Sayyidatuna Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and forgive us all without accountability for her sake. آمين بجاه خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
As the Prophet's daughter, she holds a sacred place. place as the prophet's daughter. She holds a sacred place, the lady of paradise, with a heart full of divine.